Doug how Solomon,
which I'll take into account.
Yeah, that's what I understand. It's just, you know, they're having a little bit of digestion going on there.
Got to humor in a little bit.
For the Reagan, holding the door for a place.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord, and for this coming week, Lord, with the services tomorrow, Lord, sister churches and pastors and membership, Lord. Get at the work week at camp as well for safe travels and to get much accomplished, Lord, so that the camp week this summer can be successful, Lord. That could be no injuries, and that everyone returns home safe as well. You get the remainder of the classes this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shall I see something there?
No, the messenger is staying.
Thank you.
Okay, last night we were looking at the big picture.
Yes.
Everything combined. Genesis, Revelation, why he created everything. What's the whole point? Well, flip to the last chapter. By the way, what's the last chapter of the Bible? Wish Brother Sean was here. I think I'm going to have to give another homework. Memorize the books of the Bible. Where does the Bible begin?
Genesis.
I like the firmness of that. Genesis chapter 1. And with Revelation 1:2. So what's the end? What's the whole point? From everything from, by the way, why did he create the Pleiades? Well, does anybody know the Pleiades?
Can you give me the constellation?
What's that?
It's a constellation.
It's a constellation.
Mm-hmm. And spoken of in Job.
Spoken of in Job. For his pleasure. What's the whole point of everything? His pleasure. What's his pleasure? What was the point before he created everything? When was Jesus
before the foundation of the world?
Before the foundation of the world, before he said, let there be anything, they'd already determined that Jesus would sacrifice his life for all the warm, fuzzy little kittens and puppies. No.
Yeah.
For who?
Mankind.
You and I. So from Genesis to Revelation, how does the library end? What's the last thing he leaves you with when he takes you from Genesis to Revelation, and it's all coherent, it's one? What's the final message?
Behold,
I come quickly. But before that,
it's loud.
What's that?
It's a blast.
Yeah, exactly. Because the last, the come quickly, is the urgency. Have you ever noticed when anybody is advertising anything, they try to build in a sense of urgency? Limited time only. This weekend only. Sunday. What's the message?
Fellowship. Well, for the people.
Okay, good. You've got chapter 21 down. Mm-hmm. And you go all the way into chapter 22. Go look at verse 17.
And
what's that?
Spirit and the bride say come.
The spirit and the bride say come. Let's read that.
And let him that heareth say come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely.
What's the point of everything? Genesis to Revelation.
And bring man to God.
What's that, Sister Rhonda?
To bring man to God.
To bring man to God.
Brother Jim. Well,
just kind of fellowship with mankind.
There you go.
Around the whole eternity. Whether he had it before in the garden, he wants that again in eternity.
It worked. Excellent. Did everybody hear what Brother Jeff said? So, Brother Jeff said as if you believed it, and loud enough for Sister Caitlin to hear. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Would you speak up? I understand you have a hearing problem. Can you project?
Yes.
He's a soul too.
Fellowship in eternity with mankind that he had in the garden with Adam and Eve. Throughout all the journey.
I put an asterisk by garden. I'll pick that up in a second. Look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. This is so heavy and so important. He issues two warnings. Ends it by, you be careful, you don't add to it, you don't take away. All of recorded history and time is encapsulated in these final moments, and he says, don't mess with it. And then he ends with what Brother Doug brought out. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So be it. I didn't misread that. What does amen mean?
So be it.
So be it. Clearly means so be it. In agreement. So be it. Surely I come quickly. We think it's been 2,000 years. It's a very long time. By whose time scale is it measured?
God's. 1,000 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just 2 days.
It's 2 days. Yeah. Now, look at verse 16. Who did he direct this to? And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. First thing to note, how come is the word church is pluralized?
Well, there's, it was originally written to seven churches that were in Asia. There were multiple churches across the region.
No, there's only one church. We know that.
Local, that's what we'll call that.
It's a universal church. There's only one church.
Mm-hmm. So basic.
I forgot about that, sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So why is this pluralized? Brother Reagan, push on with that idea.
It's got local, visible churches that are that all believe the same things and all have the same or all have the correct lineage, but they're all in different regions or different areas.
Well, each one of them, do we know who these seven churches are?
Yes.
Yes. By name.
By name, Brother Alec.
It's not just the seven churches, it's the churches of today.
Exactly. Were these seven churches independent or homogeneous? Meaning all the same?
They're all independent New Testament churches. of life, faith, and order. This, other than that, they truly practice the same, but they're all independent governing churches.
Excellent.
They each have their own candlestick, and they each did well losing their own candlestick.
So each had their own candlestick, each of them responsible for it. Of the seven churches, five of them had problems. Only two of them received commendations without issues. One of them was almost dead. We have a very apt description in the book, begins that way by inundating you with information about these seven churches. The end of the book says, what? It says, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. First thing to know, as to the multiple churches, there's not one universal church. They're all independent, but tied together by the Spirit, the Christ. Why did he want this testified in the churches? Why give this to the churches? Why not tell you, if you want to reach the whole world, why not reach the whole world? Why put it in the churches?
That's the body that was responsible for teaching, preaching the gospel, baptizing.
And where were they supposed to go?
To all the world. Well, Jerusalem. The gospel. But they're going to put all the world.
Matthew 28.
In Matthew 28, they were sent to all the world.
Yeah. We're talking big picture here. Well, you're being awful restrictive. You're being awful narrow-minded. You think, read the book. I put it in the churches so they'd disseminate to the whole world. Now, why would he choose that method? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why would he choose to put the book of Revelation in the churches? If he wanted to get the message across to the whole world, why do it to the churches? Well, we have the command that they're to go to the whole world.
Verses.
What's that?
You going to verse 16?
Am I going to verse 16?
You're in 16?
Would you like to phone a friend? No problem. What verse do you think? No.
Can you say it? Say it.
No, I'm in first John.
3:15.
3:15.
That's what I thought.
Why is that important?
He made his church the pillar and ground of the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a throne there.
For the reason that he wrote the seven churches, review why, commended to, because each local body was responsible, and that's how his word could not be heard by each individual church being responsible to be the pillar and ground of the truth. If those five churches went away and didn't repent and they lost their candlestick, those two could continue on.
Has anybody ever hear of the internet?
No, it's that.
Yeah, I know I'm being worldly. I am going to get it. Anybody?
The
world.
Wide web.
What is that?
Look at your internet.
The internet.
Yeah.
The internet. What's a net? You might see a fishing net and a net. It's an internet. It's World Wide Web. You know how the internet works?
It's a bunch of different computers all in disparate locations that are all connected and share information.
So what if one processing center goes down?
You can lose, you know, a few things, but the whole internet doesn't go down. Same.
It's amazing. When the world decided to connect itself by a computer to everyone else, they didn't centralize it. But religion wants centralization. Why? For control. So if you want to build in redundancy, you want to build in survivability, if you want to build in perpetuity, you go this direction, Brother Dixon.
So our electrical grid system is based off of the same principle, because it's not designed, if one part goes down, you know, there's things that kick into another part to make it come back quicker. Now, you could take it all down, just like if you take all that down. Yeah. But that is not how it's originally developed. It is developed to continue, to be repaired, and to advance.
Getting big pictures. So when you study, it all comes into focus.
He's the vine, we are the branches.
Say that again loud as if you understood what you were thinking.
He is the vine, we are the branch.
He is the vine, we are the branches. Now look again at verse number 15. What is it about the church that would cause him to put the last book of the Bible sent specifically to the churches? Which is a nice correlation to, we have, who was the book of Romans to the churches?
Yeah.
To the church in Rome.
To the church of Rome. How about First Colossians, or First Colossians?
First Colossians.
First Church of Rome.
Yeah. Corinthians. To the church of Corinthians. Second Corinthians to the church of Corinthians. How about Galatians?
Oh, really too.
How about Galatians?
Churches.
To the church of Galatia is like saying Idaho. Well, it's going to throw off on Galatia. More like saying it's Oregon. We don't want to insult Galatia. You see the big picture there? So why is it they can't memorize the Word of God and the churches? Because to them, they're supposed to go to the world. But what is this installation? Look at verse 15. They are the pillar and ground of the truth. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What makes the church big picture, so you get the whole focus there? What makes the churches the pillar and ground of the truth? Are we that bright?
That's the Word of God.
Was the people that taught Brother Roger that bright? And the people that taught them that bright? Brother Elliot.
John 17 says, I have given them my word, thy word. He gave his church his word. Yes, the pillar ground of truth. And he commissioned his church to go to know all the world.
Good.
So there, it's again, it's he's the one who's had the authority, but he's having the authority be carried out through his church. Churches.
You're right next to it. You're so close. Brother Joe.
The pillar and ground of the truth is support of the truth.
Okay.
The truth is Lord Jesus Christ.
Set you free.
And his way.
Okay. That's good.
Brother Reagan. In Colossians 1:18, where Christ is the head of the church, so he's in charge of it, and it's supposed to submit to him, and he's given that mystery in verse 26, the mystery that's been hid is now made manifest to his saints. So it's the place where the Lord is in charge. The Lord isn't, the whole world doesn't listen to Christ, doesn't obey his word, isn't taught how to behave. His people are, and so we're supposed to be the ones that are to behave the way you have us to, including going out and preaching the truth, which is not given to all the world. They don't have the ability to preach and share the truth as he would have us.
You're right next to it.
It all comes back to one source, to him.
One sort of hymns. Good, good, good.
So I'm taking a stab at this here. I'm going to John 14:18.
Okay.
And 26.
Go ahead.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then it goes down to 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
You're right on top of it, and you stop too soon. You're right there.
Okay.
Go to the next chapter.
next chapter.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were in 14, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, go one more chapter.
Okay.
Go to 16. Now drop down to verse 13.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his
life. John 16, 13.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Why do you say this in the church? Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Why is it the pillar and ground of the truth? Because he set his word in the church, and then he rested it upon the Spirit to guide us into that truth. If all you had to have was the word, then we could drive by this afternoon and drop off Bible to all the Mormons and the Catholics and the Episcopalians, and by tomorrow people will be getting saved by the dozens.
The word of God, or even say challenge.
But more is needed than the word. The Ethiopian eunuch had the word. What's that?
He says, understand us what thou readest, how shall I understand lest a man get in me?
How can I accept some man guide me? What does the Holy Spirit do? Guide. Are you forced to follow the truth?
No.
No. You can take it any way you want to take it. For the Spirit will be working in the church, always guiding into the truth. Always guiding into the truth. Always guiding into the truth.
So when I was in high school, I went to work for my uncle who owned a car lot here in town, and I was just his lot boy, and had more spark every Saturday morning. So up for first day, and it was primarily a Corvette cell ship, and I started washing the car, just like I did at my house. He comes out there, and he proceeds to tell me I'm not doing it correctly. This is how he wants it done. And I learned how to wash a car the way, let's just say, the owner wants it done. So we have the truth, send the word. It doesn't matter how I change it. It doesn't matter if I want to do it or I don't want to do it. Second Timothy says acceptable. So I can do a lot of things that will get the job done. But that doesn't mean it's going to be acceptable. And who it's acceptable to is God. And that, so we have the Spirit of truth. It will guide us in the truth. But we have to do it in an acceptable manner that His Word teaches us. We do not get to change it to what works or what we thought worked for ourselves. And if you've never either worked for somebody or had somebody demanding in your life to hold you accountable to whatever matter they want something done, I think that gets lost. But it's the same principle in the scriptural New Testament church. We can't change things. All we have to do is do what's acceptable, and His word lays it out for us, and it's not overly complicated. It wasn't overly complicated to watch that car the way you wanted it. It's just had me taught how to wash a car. Well, I don't know how to wash a car. I've been washing cars. No, because I was a kid, but it wasn't acceptable.
I hope you got that, because that's exactly right. And think about what Brother Dixon said. Now think about what he said in Revelation 2 to the church of Ephesus. They knew how to do a lot of things. Look at that. Look at Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, verse 1. Right, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and or not, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and has not fainted. I mean, this church is doing really well. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. What? We did everything right. Yes, commendable, you did some things right. But you forgot the biggest thing there was to do it. You forgot why you were doing it. You forgot the first love. You forgot why. Why were you defending the faith? Why were you trying the men that were saying they're apostles and finding them liars? Why did you have patience? Why did you labor? Why? Because you left your first love. So remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent.
Yes, sir.
And do the first works. Or else I'll come quickly unto thee, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But they were doing good stuff. And he says, if you don't do it acceptable, you won't be mine. Even though they were doing good stuff, they had patience, and for his name's sake had labored, and hadn't fainted. They were doing really good, but he wasn't acceptable. I look back at chapter 22. Verse 16 again. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that him that heareth say, come. That him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Why does the Spirit and bride say, come? What does it say? Why is that all in one sentence?
Comforter in the church has been given the permission.
And go, the Spirit as comforter in the church. They're speaking with one voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What is John 17 that we looked about?
One.
The Trinity, they're one. What does Jesus desire for us? That we be one with him. That we all have the same mind, teach the same thing. Now we're back to Brother Doug's class. One baptism. One faith. That's a unity and harmony. If you keep the big picture in focus, everything will fit in. You'll understand it. You won't be driven off with all these fine little points that get you into trouble if you keep focusing on the big picture. Unity, harmony, oneness. Look at John chapter 17. Yeah, look at verse 21. That they all may be one. Who is he talking to and about? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. So the church. Every member in the church is supposed to be united like Jesus and the Father are. How much daylight is between Jesus and the Father? Zero.
God is light, and so there is all daylight.
It's all daylight.
Oh, good.
You must be married to a lawyer.
Yeah.
Sister Caitlin, well
no distance, no separation.
No distance, no separation. So they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Watch this. so they also may be one in us. We're supposed to be one with God. For what purpose? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. What made Peter so effective? What made Paul so effective? How is the world going to know we're his disciples?
If we have love one for another.
If when we have love one for another. Mm-hmm. Now, how is that expressed? What did he tell them? What did he say about that? By this shall the world know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. Mm-hmm. What sort of love is that? Did he tell them?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
It's a measure of that.
Well, it is a spiritual gift, but he also told them what sort of love that was supposed to be. Look at, was it John 13? Talking big pictures here. Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Was that what was that the commandment?
As I have loved you.
As I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Peter, do you love me?
Lord, you know.
Yeah, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me?
Lord,
you know all things, Lord. You know I love you. Are we supposed to love the brethren? Yeah, I love them. I also love my bowling team.
Different.
I love my fantasy basketball, football team, and I love my basketball bracket. Yes, Sister Brittany, I said it.
Just that love is different.
What? That love is supposed to be different. It only arises to the point where Jesus accepts it when the church reflects his love. When are people going to know we're his disciples? When we show his love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you also love one another. That, by the way, is agape.
Yes.
That's the highest form of love, the greatest form of love.
Sacrificial. That's love.
Brother Jim said sacrificial. Exactly right. Gee, how far should we take that? Sacrifice. How far should we take that?
Unto death. Even the death.
Once. Say that loud, Brother Jim.
Even unto death.
Are you death kidding?
Cross.
We should be willing to die for Jesus.
Shouldn't we?
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Like verse 16. Sometimes I get amused. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What does 1 John 3:16 say? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What sort of love do we express to the world? How are they going to know we're the disciples? Well, I go to church every opportunity I have. when I'm not working overtime and there's not a good sporting event on and I'm not doing other things, God's right number one. When I don't have other number ones. How do they know what sort of love that is? When we show them that love, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, what if, is that the only way we can show? I'm supposed to escort Brother Dale across the street and jump in front of cars and risk my life and so he can get across the street to his house? Because I know at times he's had a dangerous crossing. Sometimes as church members.
So that's that. It's 12 o'clock. It's true.
If you'd be a little faster, you wouldn't be in such danger. That's why I drive a red car, so you don't see the stains. Forgive me, brother. Verse 17. Is that just, we just be supposed to be available when we're to lay down our lives? But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and sheweth up his vows of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. What's wisdom? The correct application of knowledge and understanding. So we know these things to do. When is wisdom take effect? When we do them. We're to have the same love that Christ had for us. If you want to be one with God, amen, hallelujah, that's what he wants, big picture. Then share the love he shared with you and stand in the gap for your brethren. And being a deacon for over 40 years, I've been privileged to see that time and time and time again. Brothers stepping in the gap, helping, oftentimes individuals being helped, not even knowing from who was stepping in the gap. Because they wasn't doing it to say, hey, I want some recognition. Other churches will have their donation boards, contribution boards, and list of how big the donations were. And who did this, who did that? God's the one who's glorified, uplifted, and exalted. Hereby we know that we are of the truth. When we know we're of the truth, when we do the truth, when we're guided into the truth by the Spirit and brides, they come. This goes from Revelation all the way back to Genesis and every step in between. Last night we looked at Adam, Melchizedek, Tabernacle, Temple, Church, Millennial Temple, New Jerusalem, constant thread throughout the whole thing. We're out of time. Here's one for you. How long did Abraham live? Do we know how long Adam was in the Garden of Eden? No. Do we have any idea? So the Christian's really hard. You're going to stand on that. We don't know that. We don't know.
I know.
You don't. 1,000 years? Maybe 10,000 years? Anybody want to take a guess? Do we have any?
At least 7 days.
Okay. Good. Do we know how long Adam lived?
That's so long. I remember he sinned.
He sinned, huh? Oh, congratulations, Adam. Today, I'm going to start counting. He lived 930 years. How do we know Adam? It's a Bible killer.
It's so fascinating.
Look at Genesis chapter 5.
I'm on overtime again. Oh, well. First one. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, and in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and he called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, was 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So, he lived 930 years. Was it from the point of sin or creation? What?
Point of sin. He was innocent and perfect. There, he wasn't going to die, physically or spiritually, until...
He didn't die. What does that verse say?
He lived.
He lived.
Well, evening and morning are the first day. So that's when the day started being counted.
Right. We sometimes horseshoe our doctrine and we read things that aren't there. What does that verse say? It goes from creation. It doesn't say sin or innocence or from creation. Time was recorded when?
Evening and morning first day.
Yeah. Chapter 1 gives us when time starts. Chapter 5 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years. He was created and he lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. When was Cain and Abel born?
After they left the garden.
Look back at chapter 4, chapter 3, the end of verse chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword that turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man of the Lord. She bare again, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. So we have Cain and Abel born after they leave the garden. Now look at verse 25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So when was Seth born?
Was that the first?
When Adam was 130, Seth was born, and Seth was born after Abel died. Got that?
Yep.
So, how long was Adam in the garden? Less than 130 years. Now, we don't know for certain. For certain, we know 130 years. But you have to account. When was Abel and Cain, pillar of the ground, keeper of the flock? How old were they? We don't know. So we know he was, Seth was born when Adam was 130, and that was after Abel died, and Abel wasn't born until after it was out of the garden. So, what's the point? The point is, Adam lived, yeah, 800 years. 800 years remembering what it was like in paradise.
So, being at work cool
when the Lord walked with them, it's actually translated spirit. He lived that long remembering walking in the spirit of God every day until he transgressed.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Brother Dale.
No.
I'm not. I'm
not. What's that?
Yeah.
800 years of toil with the faith. Can you imagine sitting out there with Cain? Cain was a what? What was Cain? Teller of the ground. Can you imagine Dad saying, son, we got to get the briars out. There was a time we didn't have briars by then. We didn't have briars then. Eight 800 years. And then do the timeline of when Adam was alive, who else was alive during the time that Adam was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes much further and deeper than we think. Just a little tidbit. Keep the big picture. If you keep the big picture, everything will fall into place and it will all make sense. But standing up with blessing them, reflecting. So the Carter, did you do that for us?
Well, Father, thank you for the day. You're giving us something to come together and hear every word. Next classes, they can know according to your will, Lord. Teach us what to study. Give us all safe travels home. The church camp work week, so stone week, Lord. Let us get some work done, Lord. Be in a good spirit about it. Just be a good witness. We're about the Lord. Proud of the Lord. And for this, these are our preference, Lord. We just name Raymond.
Amen.
Yeah.